Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. Well, you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X. We got the remote thing happening today. That does not change his responsibilities in any way, shape, or form, though. He will make sure that we come to a complete and total stop in about, 53 minutes from now. So he'll be taking care of us there. Of course, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown. We'll tell you about some of the great stuff going on down in Vicksburg over the next hour. But today we are in Tupelo. We are here at Stone's Jewelers. We've been here for the past 3 hours with Sports Talk Mississippi. Just announced our winners in the giveaway for those who were giving away to Sanctuary Hospice. We appreciate them very much. Appreciate the good folks at Stone's. They could have just had a regular remote, but they were like, no. We want to stay here an hour longer and hear Thunder and Lightning, and I appreciate that. So thank you guys for having me. It has been an eventful couple of days here at Mississippi State, basically because a lot has been going on. And you would think maybe that's not the case. You know, the season's over. What's happening here at Mississippi State? Well, I will tell you, friends, what's happening here at Mississippi State. What's happening is the transfer portal. That's right. It's the transfer portal. It is what's happening here at Mississippi State right now. Everybody in here is like, what is that noise? It's like, it's just a transfer portal, y'all. It's just a transfer portal. It happens. People coming in, they're going out. You never know. All right, we're going to start by talking about the people going out. Now, last night around 8:30 or so, Michael Van Buren officially entered his name into the transfer portal. If you're a Thunder and Lightning listener, if you're a Sports Talk Mississippi listener, that did not come as any surprise to you. We were talking about that Sunday night on Thunder and Lightning. We talked about it on Monday afternoon, Sports Talk Mississippi. So you should not have been caught off guard that Michael Van Buren entered the transfer portal and is looking to leave Mississippi State. Why is that? Because of who Mississippi State is targeting in the transfer portal, Oklahoma quarterback Jackson Arnold, who is the protege, shall we say, of Jeff Lebby. Lebby recruited him to Oklahoma. That's a process. I mean, when you talk about recruiting a player of Jackson Arnold's caliber out of high school, he had offers from anywhere. He could have gone into any school he wanted to in the country. If he had wanted to go to Alabama, if he had wanted to go to Georgia, if he had wanted to go to Texas, he could have. He went to Oklahoma to play for Jeff Lebby and play in that offense. Lebby believes that Arnold is the perfect prototype quarterback to run his offense. And so the decision was made to move on from Michael Van Buren and go towards Jackson Arnold. Is that the correct decision? You know, that's one of those only time will tell kind of things. It's definitely a risk. Don't let anybody tell you that's not a gamble for Mississippi State. You know, Van Buren, I thought, to be thrown into the situations he was as a true freshman with an offensive line that struggled, with a defense that put him behind the eight ball in every game that he played, I thought Van Buren played pretty well, to be honest with you. And I saw the potential, and I saw a guy who could be a future star in college football. Jackson Arnold, you know, when I saw him at Oklahoma, he was struggling in the early part of the season. But one thing I liked about him, and we talked about this on Monday as well, is that when he lost his starting job, he didn't say, okay, well, I'm going to redshirt and I'll transfer out or I quit. He sat on the bench. He cheered on his teammates, and then when he got his opportunity to come back into the game, he played well, got his team to beat Alabama, and got him into a bowl game. Again, you know, it's a risk. It's a risk for Lebby. Lebby is a guy that I'm going to kind of trust on the quarterback evaluations. Why shouldn't I? He's been good thus far. He's turned coal into crystal. You know, Dillon Gabriel was not the most highly recruited guy in the world, but now he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Matt Corral was sort of, you know, treading water at Ole Miss. Lebby and Kiffin come in, and he becomes one of the best quarterbacks in the country by the end of his final year in Oxford. So I'm going to give that benefit of the doubt. I'd like to give the benefit of the doubt at the wide receiver position. And, you know, you lose Mario Craver, and I think, okay, you know, Craver, as much as I love the potential, the production was not that great from him. Plus, you're talking about a guy who was arrested prior to the start of the season, suspended towards the end of the season. Maybe there's some locker room issues there. You can replace that guy. He's replaceable. But is Kevin Coleman replaceable? That's a question I don't know the answer to. My first thought is no. Now, I believe that Chad Bumpus and Jeff Lebby will go out in this transfer portal and get good wide receivers. But gosh, you could have had good wide receivers to add to Kevin Coleman. I didn't feel like it was an either-or situation, especially with Coleman going into the portal. You know, if you've told me Coleman was going to leave to go to the NFL, okay, I understand that. But for him to want to go somewhere else, when you know, where is he going to go to get as many catches and opportunities as he had at Mississippi State? Maybe he just wants to win. And, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that, you know, with this particular Mississippi State team, I don't necessarily know that they're going to be, how should I put it, that they're going to be in the mix for a bowl game next year. Got a long way to go before I can tell you the answer to that, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know about this team. Maybe he wants to go find more of a sure thing. I get that, but gosh. You know, I've come on this show so many times. I've come on Sports Talk. I come on the podcast. I go on interviews, and I talk about MSU and NIL. I'm like, they've got cash in hand. They're ready to go this portal season. They're ready to make the payments. And then you let your absolute best offensive weapon get away. That's a difficult pill to swallow. That makes me ask pointed questions. Why could we not keep this guy here? Now, again, if you tell me, look, we made a ridiculous offer to him, but at the end of the day, he just wanted to leave because he felt like Mississippi State was rebuilding, not going to be in a position to have great success. He wants to be part of a winning program next year. I can understand that. I absolutely can understand that. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem if I come back and I hear, well, we didn't think he was worth it. I can live with that thought process on Van Buren. I know what Van Buren's rumored number was. I agree 100%. You shouldn't pay that amount for him. I get that. But there was not really a number you could come up with Coleman where I would have probably turned my nose. I mean, you know, something silly. If you wanted $5 million, sure, okay, let him go. But my goodness, that was a perception hit today for Mississippi State to lose its best player. Coleman was the best player on the team this past year. He was the only consistent week-in, week-out offensive threat you had. Despite the fact that State struggled so much, he still was one of the top receivers in the conference and in the country. It hurts to lose him. And fans are asking questions, and they're right to do so. You can't continue to tell people, hey, we've got all this money for NIL, and we've got this, and we're ready. And then you know, day three of the portal, your best offensive player is gone. Oh, and one of you're probably your second best defensive player left too, in Bryce Pollock. This kind of personnel losses makes people question, why am I giving you money? I get that. I get the frustration on that. It's tough. It is a tough pill to swallow to see Kevin Coleman in the portal today. Do I have faith that Chad Bumpus and Jeff Lebby can go out and get receivers of equal production to him? I absolutely do. If they sign a guy like DT Sheffield out of North Texas, the Mississippi native, and bring him in, he can come in next year and give you the same numbers that Coleman did. But again, you could have had them both. You could have had both those guys on the team and given yourselves a lot better options. So I don't understand. I don't know what happened here. But to me, that's a miss by Mississippi State. That's a strike. That's tough. And for a guy with Jeff Lebby's, you know, this is a guy who he doesn't have any credit in the bank. He's taking out loans at this point. He needs something good to happen for him. He needs Arnold to get in the boat sooner rather than later and let him be a catalyst for some recruiting momentum. You know, we go back a week ago, and gosh, this show a week ago is so weird to listen to now because it was recorded before the Tyler Lockhart stuff. State, you know, ends up with the number 22 class in the nation. Coming off of a 2-10 season, that's not that bad. But they left a ton of meat on the bone. And guys, you felt like they should have been able to get. They could have had a top 15 class if they had gotten those guys. And you talking about missing out on receivers. There was one 30 minutes from your campus, a five-star kid who grew up a Bulldog, and you lost him to Ole Miss. That's a bitter pill to swallow. Then you lose Mario Craver, and you think, okay, well, I mean, I like Craver, but maybe you can replace him. Now you're losing Kevin Coleman. Kelly Akari's going out to graduation. You know, when we talk about Jackson Arnold, he's got to be looking around going, who am I throwing to? Now, maybe he knows something I don't. Maybe he knows who's coming to Mississippi State. It's tough. This was a tough day for Mississippi State on that front. Now, on the other side, the defensive side of the ball, believe it or not, some actual good news for Mississippi State, and that's what we'll talk about when we come back. We'll talk about two additions to Mississippi State from the transfer portal. What can they do in year one for the Bulldogs and Coleman Hutzler, who have to be better defensively? Doesn't really matter what Jackson Arnold does. Doesn't matter if you keep Kevin Coleman or get DT Sheffield. If you can't stop anybody, it doesn't matter. State's starting to take those steps to be better there this year. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here at Stones Jewelers in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Now,
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. If you do want to join me, you can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg this Saturday. Breakfast with Santa at the Vicksburg Convention Center over at 1600 Briggs Hobson Boulevard. $7 per person for tickets, which includes breakfast, photo with Santa, souvenirs. There's going to be Home Depot kid crafts and activities. You can buy your tickets at the Vicksburg Convention Center box office or at Ticketmaster.com. Sponsored by McDonald's of Vicksburg, Bella La Vida Photography, Express Personnel, and my good friends over at the Golden Barge Line. And proceeds will benefit the Ronald McDonald House. For more information, call 601-630-2929. My friend Austin Golding will be on tomorrow with Richard Cross. I hope he gives him the business when he's on with him tomorrow morning. As we're doing the show here tonight, by the way, I'm live here in Tupelo at Stones Jewelers. As we're doing the show, the SEC is releasing the 2025 dates for the football schedule. Now, if you didn't know this already, State's first games of the year next year are all their non-conference games. They're going to kind of do what Ole Miss did this year, play all four games to start, so that means they'll have eight straight conference games after that. Week one, Mississippi State will start the year on the road in Hattiesburg, taking on Southern Mississippi. Week two, the Arizona State Sun Devils will make the return trip to Starkville after this year's game in Tempe. So that's going to be September the 6th. The 13th, State will host Alcorn State at Davis-Wade Stadium. That's September 13th. On the 20th, State will host Northern Illinois, who, of course, beat Notre Dame earlier this year. That's your September 20th game. Looks like State's off. I'm sorry, no, I'm incorrect. State will host Tennessee on September the 27th. Week 5, State's first game of the year, the Tennessee Volunteers will come to Starkville on September 27th. On week 6, State will be on the road, their first SEC road game of the year at Texas A&M. Week 7, that looks like a bye week for State, if I'm reading it right, and I am. Yeah, Mississippi State off the week of October 11th. And then that's the last one that we have here. Oh, sorry, here we go. Week 8, Mississippi State will be at Florida. So back-to-back road games. They'll play on the 4th at A&M, then be off, and then on the road to Florida on October the 18th. And I'll continue to update that as we go forward. But we also need to make another update of sorts. Let's talk about some new additions to Mississippi State that just happened today. Hit it, Rhino.
Creighton, 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 Creighton,
We got them dancing in the aisles here for the Creighton song. They love it. They love it. All right, State has gone into the portal. Obviously, the first order of business in the portal for Mississippi State is defense. And that's where they've gone first in these first couple of commitments. Now, you might remember a few weeks ago we talked about State. They added a defensive back out of Kennesaw State, Javen Williams. He was State's first true portal commitment. That actually happened during the season for Mississippi State. Today, Mississippi State picked up two players from Old Dominion safety Jerron Manning. Jerron Manning, a Manning from New Orleans, has committed to Mississippi State. I'm just saying. No, I don't believe he is related to the to Eli and Archie and those guys, but you know, maybe a distant cousin. But a safety from Old Dominion. I'm not a guy that tells you that Pro Football Focus is the end-all, be-all of anything for what you're looking at in a player, but he was highly rated there amongst national safeties a season ago. So Jerron Manning comes to Mississippi State. And then Red Hibbler, defensive lineman from North Carolina State, previously Louisville High School, Louisville, Mississippi, Northwest Community College, and then on to NC State. Didn't play much last year, but two seasons ago led the Wolfpack in sacks with 6.5. State desperately needs a guy who can get after the quarterback. 6.5 sacks. State had 10 sacks as a team this season. So it gives you an idea of what you're hoping that Red Hibbler can bring you in year one at Mississippi State. Only 1 year of eligibility left for both of these guys, so they're one and done at Mississippi State. But State's first three commitments out of the portal are all defensive guys for Mississippi State. So obviously a long way to go there. I think State had four or five other guys on campus today. If you've been keeping up with you know, if you look over at the craziness that is the On3 message board transfer portal thread, this is a thread with, as we speak, over 5,000 posts in it, over 238,000 views of everybody just constantly refreshing, seeing who's going into the portal, who's visiting Mississippi State, so on and so forth. You're seeing a lot of names of guys starting to make their way to Mississippi State to take visits. And now it becomes a question of, can you get those guys to sign, you know, on the line, which is dotted? And that's going to be hopefully the case for Mississippi State. Here's week 9 in the SEC. Texas comes to Starkville on October the 25th. So that's your week 9 game for the Bulldogs. The Texas Longhorns, first time in Starkville since 1991, Jackie Sherrill's first year in Starkville. And, of course, State won that game back in 1991. 13-6 was the final score of that one. That's where we are now. We haven't gotten to week 10. I feel like it's election results. I'm just updating them as they come in. You know, we've got, so that's 9 out of 12 games. We've got 75% of the polls coming in here. So what do we know then? State, what games have we not called out? Arkansas, Georgia, and Missouri remain to be given out for Mississippi State. Plus, I think this is also another second bye week year. And in case you didn't know this, any time the football season starts before September 1st, there will be a second bye week within the season. I don't know why that is necessarily. I'm sure it has something to do with the calendar. But there will be a second bye week. And, of course, we know the last game of the season will be, I believe, on Black Friday again. I don't know if they've necessarily announced that officially, but I'm pretty sure it will be Mississippi State versus Ole Miss on Black Friday again. So this game is October 25th. So we're still remaining to find out what State plays on November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and then I believe the Egg Bowl will be on November 28th. That would be the Black Friday game for, November 28th. Okay, so there we go. So we still have three more games to find out, and we know that those games are Georgia at home, Missouri on the road, and Arkansas on the road. And of course, Ole Miss is at home this year, so two home games left to announce and two road games left to announce. Let's see if they've we'll update it one more time before we continue on here. They have not updated yet. State needs to get, you know, Lebby the other day at his signing day press conference talked about he needed 15 guys out of the portal. That number's way off. I can't help but think that Lebby was kind of trying to say 15, you know, starters out of the portal. The State's already lost, I think, 23 guys to the portal. You got to replace those guys. You got to have some depth in there. You got to be able to run practices. So State's probably going to be closer to 25, 26 guys out of the portal when this is all said and done. And honestly, you know, between I would say maybe two-thirds of that needs to be defense. If you sign 25, 15, 16 of those guys need to be defensive guys, and then you need a couple of offensive linemen. You need a couple of receivers now. You probably need a running back, and you got to find another quarterback as well. We haven't talked about Blake Shapen and his decision to come back. Now, again, if you've been listening to this show, listening to the podcast, you know that I've been saying for weeks that Blake Shapen was going to return to Mississippi State, regardless of whatever the quarterback situation was, regardless of if Van Buren stayed or went and they brought in another guy. Blake Shapen was going to be here regardless. He made that announcement official yesterday. And I will be honest with you, and I've talked to some people at Mississippi State, they believe he's going to be state starting quarterback week one. There is a strong groundswell to believe that. That regardless of if Jackson Arnold comes to Starkville, or if State, you know, misses out on Arnold but they go get another guy out of the portal, Shapen is still going to be that guy. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have an issue with that. I liked Blake Shapen. I thought he played well. I thought he played good enough. I think that if you gave Blake Shapen the running game that State got in the later weeks, that he could have been very successful. I think State might have found a way to win another game had Blake Shapen been the quarterback for them. I'm not trying to take away from Michael Van Buren. He's a freshman who was thrown into an almost impossible situation. But Shapen being the veteran, I think, you know, he throws a better ball. He's a better overall quarterback than Michael Van Buren. Van Buren potentially could be better than Shapen, but sitting here right now, it's not even close that Shapen is the better guy there. So we'll see. No one being negative. It looks like 1-3 in the non-conference, 0-8 in the conference. 1-3 is very negative. I think State can win at least three of their non-conference games. I don't know about the rest of the way. I mean, another 0-8 could happen. I'll be honest with you. If State goes 0-8 again in the conference, we might be talking about some big changes in Starkville. I don't see any way around that. So, yeah, if State doesn't win a conference game next year, if Levy starts out 0-18 in conference play, going to be very difficult for me to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, he absolutely deserves a year three. I won't be one to do that. Let's talk a little bit more positive when we come back. We've got basketball this weekend here in the city of Tupelo. This team has been kind of up and down, but last week was a big, big up. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Out of all the reindeer, you know you're the mastermind.
One of the great voices of Christmas right there, old Lemmy. I love me a very metal Christmas. Very good stuff. Thank you, Rhino. Appreciate you. Down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys being with us here on a Wednesday evening. I want to thank Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. They are one of the sponsors here on Thunder and Lightning. This Saturday, 1 o'clock to starting this Saturday at 1, and then going all the way through to December 29th, Oh Christmas Tree Historic Home Tours. Following the success of last year's tour, this year a group of Vicksburg homeowners are honoring Mahala Roach's tradition. Oh Christmas Tree features 12 architectural beauties rarely open to the public. Each home will be on tour for one day only. Architecture of the homes ranks from, this is a lot of information here. So here's what I want you to do. You're just going to buy your tickets at tickettailor.com. Actually, just go to the Visit Vicksburg website. This is a long web address as well. But they've got a lot of great tours over the next 3 weeks. Check those out, the Oh Christmas Tree Historic Home Tours. Let's update you guys on this schedule reveal they're doing. We're up to week 10, November 1st. Mississippi State will be at Arkansas on that day. Then the next week, November the 8th, Mississippi State will host the Georgia Bulldogs. That'll be November 8th at Davis-Wade Stadium, November 8th, 2025. November 15th, State is at Mizzou. November 15th, 2025, State will be at Missouri. And so that means State has a bye week before the Egg Bowl. State will not play the week before the Egg Bowl. Does Ole Miss play the week before the Egg Bowl? They do not. So both teams, because they have the short week, are getting the week of the Egg Bowl off, week before the Egg Bowl off. That's interesting. I don't ever recall State having the week prior to the Egg Bowl completely off. That's an interesting one, but that's going to be the case. So that means November the 20th. It says the week of November 29th, obviously, but I think that is going to be on Friday, Black Friday, November the 28th. Mississippi State will host the Ole Miss Rebels to finish the season. So, to recap the schedule, week one, Mississippi State at Southern Mississippi to start the year. Week two, they'll host the Arizona State Sun Devils. Week three, Alcorn State comes to Davis-Wade Stadium. Week four, that's September the 20th, Northern Illinois. For the first time ever in Starkville. Week 5, Mississippi State will host Tennessee in the SEC opener. Week 6, Bulldogs will travel to Texas A&M on October the 4th. Week 7, October the 11th, that'll be a bye week for Mississippi State. Week 8, October the 18th, 2025, Mississippi State will be on the road taking on the Florida Gators. The next week, the 25th, Bulldogs will host the Texas Longhorns. Week 10, November the 1st, Mississippi State will be on the road at Arkansas. Follow that up on the week of the 8th against the Georgia Bulldogs at home in Davis-Wade Stadium. The week of the 15th, week 12, November 15th, Mississippi State at Missouri. And then the bye week, the week before the Egg Bowl, which will be on Black Friday, November the 28th. Again, you know, if you've been listening to this show, we've talked about it. That we already knew these games and how they were going to be played. It was just a question of getting the dates for them, which we now have. And I imagine we'll get week three times sometime in March, April, the first 3 weeks of the season. Let's do a little. You want to do a little predicting? State at USM. There's enough cachet between the two in-state rivals. New coach at USM. That could be a night game. That could be like a 5 o'clock kickoff. So we'll see when we get there. Week 2, Mississippi State and Arizona State, that has some national interest, right? Arizona State's coming off of a playoff berth. So we'll say that's also a night game at Davis-Wade Stadium. We'll say 6 p.m. State versus Alcorn just reeks of a 3:15 kickoff that Mississippi State knew so well this past year, as does the next week with Northern Illinois. Beyond that, we'll have to do some predicting. All right, let's talk some hoops. A week ago today, Mississippi State took on Pitt at the Humphrey Coliseum. The number 18 team in the country, the Pittsburgh Panthers, a team that had been playing very good basketball coming into that game. They were fifth overall in the NCAA net rankings. And all Mississippi State did was beat them within an inch of their life. That was one of the best games I've seen State play under Chris Jans on both ends of the court. Just absolutely dominated that basketball game. I was just incredibly impressed with how good the Bulldogs played on both sides. 90-57. That Pitt team came in averaging well over 80 points a game, and State just absolutely locked them up in that one. And then on the other side of it, State was just dominating. 90 points, I was surprised at how easy the Bulldogs made it look in that game. Five Bulldogs in double figures, led by Keyshawn Murphy. He had 20. Michael Nwoko had 18. Your starting centers in this game combined for 38 points and 18 rebounds. Guys, that will play. You'll take that each and every night of the week. Hubbard with 12 points. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well in this game, but still had 12 points. RJ Melendez with 10. Claudel Harris off the bench with 10. Cam Matthews just missed out on a double-double. He had 9 points, but 13 rebounds, 4 assists, and four steals, and a block. Cam Matthews, and this is something that we learned on Sunday, it's difficult to overestimate how valuable he is to Mississippi State. And you saw that on Sunday, State taking on Prairie View in a game that, you know, very quickly became evident it was a letdown game for Mississippi State. And it looked a lot like their loss to Southern a year ago. Prairie View came out, were up 15 points in the first half, and Cam Matthews, who, you know, came out in a boot and was not going to play in that game, Mississippi State ends up asking him to come off the bench, and he gets the Bulldogs back into the game, and they end up getting I wouldn't say an easy win, but they were able to get control of the game in the second half and maintain control of it throughout, and they moved to 8-1 on the season. They're out this week, obviously, with finals going on, but they'll be back in action here in Tupelo at the Cadence Bank Arena this Saturday, part of a doubleheader. You've got the women playing Belmont, and you've got the men playing McNeese State. Will Wade, American Gangster, on the other sideline. That is a game that will currently is lined up as a quad two game for Mississippi State. So a chance to have a decent resume building win for the Bulldogs. When you look at State right now, I think they are 1-1 or 2-1 in quad one games. I think the Utah is a quad one win for State. Yeah. Utah is a quad one win. Just barely at this time. They're 65th. Nationally. Oh, that's actually not a quad one win now. That's a neutral site game. That's a quad two win. Is Butler still a quad two? Butler is a quad two loss for Mississippi State. And then Pittsburgh is a quad one win right now. Pittsburgh currently down to 16th in the net. As long as they stay in the top 25, I believe, that remains a quad one win for Mississippi State. So State 1-0 in quad one. And then 1-1 in quad two at this time. They have the McNeese is a quad two opportunity. And then a week from Saturday when they travel to Memphis, that should be a quad one game throughout the season. As long as Memphis stays in the top 75, which they are likely to do, with it being a road game, that remains a really good resume win for Mississippi State. This team, to me, right now, is kind of playing the way I thought the football team would play. They're winning with offense. Defensively, they have some question marks, and they're just a different kind of defensive team than what you saw from Mississippi State the first 2 years under Chris Chans. They're still very capable defensively. They can get after it on that side of the ball, but when they are winning, it's because they have so many options from a scoring perspective. You know, so far this year, Melendez, Matthews, Nwoko, Kugel, Hubbard, Murphy, Claudel Harris, and Kanye Clary, who's out indefinitely at this time. Jan said it was a lower leg injury keeping him out. And Sean Jones Jr. So that's, I think, did I do the math right? 10 guys so far this year who have gotten double figures for Mississippi State. Now, you think about a season ago, how many guys got double figures for Mississippi State? Maybe 7? So 3, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but you're telling me, you've got 10 guys who you can almost count on for 10 points in any given game. That makes State incredibly hard to defend, especially when you're talking about, you know, Nwoko and Murphy doing it on the post, and then Hubbard getting his points on the perimeter with Harris. Jones and Kugel are guys who can drive to the bucket, and Melendez can do a little bit of that as well, but they also can shoot out on the perimeter. They just have so many different ways to attack you right now. Now, I do think that they do have to start playing better defensively, because if they don't, you know, when we get into SEC play, and they give up 84 points to Prairie View, you can't do that in SEC play. That'll be 110 points on you real easily, and you can't allow that. So that's going to be Jans's task over these next 4 weeks until we get into SEC play, is to get this team playing a little bit better defensively. But, you know, instead of winning 70 to 64, or 68 to 61, maybe you can start winning some games 78-71. You know, you give up 10 more points, but you're scoring 10 more points, and that's how you're going to win. I still like this team a lot. You know, I thought the game against Butler, that was probably the worst game they've played under Jans in non-conference play. But they bounced back strong against Pitt. They had a little bit of a letdown against Prairie View. So we'll see what happens this Saturday when they're here in Tupelo taking on McNeese. All right, we'll wrap things up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go around here on Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Of course, I'm live today here at Stones Jewelers in Tupelo. Want to thank the Stones for having us here. We love coming here and being part of this remote great community, great family business, great people here. I want to thank them again. I want to go over this schedule one more time. Let's just go through it here because four home games in September is tough. That's just tough. I mean, you're talking about you have four home games all in the hottest month of the year. You have four home games in September, and then you only have three in October and November. Only one in October. We've been talking about Mississippi State trying to sell season tickets next year, you know, and you're worried about what the team is going to look like, but the schedule is just, it's not very conducive to making people want to come to Starkville. Let's just go over it real quick. August 30th is opening day for Mississippi State. That game will be on Saturday, August 30th, at Southern Mississippi. Next weekend, at home against Arizona State. Then at home against Alcorn. Then at home against Northern Illinois. Then at home, first SEC game against Tennessee. So you play your first game on the road and then four straight games in Starkville, of which I would almost guarantee you three of them will be during the day. So that's rough. That's rough. First road game of the year in the conference is the next weekend, the 4th of October. That's at Texas A&M. Then you have a bye. The 18th, you're back at it on the road at Florida. The 25th at home against Texas. The 1st of November on the road at Arkansas. The 8th of November at home with Georgia. And then you have the 15th, you're on the road at Missouri, a bye week on the week of the 22nd. And then the game is currently scheduled for the 29th, which is a Saturday. My guess is the SEC will make an announcement at some point. The game has been moved again to Black Friday. 4.4 million viewers this year. Huge success for ABC. Huge success for Mississippi State and Ole Miss to get that much viewership on the game. So it says the 29th. I believe it will end up being the 28th for the Egg Bowl between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. And of course, that game is in Starkville this year. So if you're a potential season ticket holder, what do you think of this schedule? Is that a schedule that's attractive to you? Do you look at that and go, okay, that's you know, I'll tell you from a games standpoint. We talked about it. If you're a neutral observer, you know, as a State fan, you look at this, you go, crap. But if you're a neutral observer, State's playing four teams that are in the college football playoff at home, and they're playing the Ole Miss, who just barely missed the college football playoff. That is a very tough home schedule, you know. And then your games that you would call your toss-up games that you think maybe you have a chance to win, can't really say that when you lose to Arkansas by 31 points. But Arkansas, Florida, Texas A&M, Missouri, those are the games you would think you have the best chance of winning. Those are all on the road. This is a very, very, very difficult schedule for Mississippi State. When you just look at it, you know, not knowing what State's roster is going to look like, you know, they could, you know, improve greatly. But my goodness, they're definitely going to be an underdog in nine games. I mean, they'll be favored against USM. They'll be favored against Alcorn. They'll be favored against Northern Illinois. But that Northern Illinois game, I mean, after what happened this year with Toledo. How can you look at it and just have a ton of confidence? How can you look at it and go, oh, yeah, they'll win that one for sure? Northern Illinois went to Notre Dame this year and got a win. No reason they can't come to Starkville and do that. Tennessee, going to be very good next year. They bring back a lot. Texas A&M on the road, they bring back a lot, and they're going to be active in the portal. Florida, you couldn't beat them this year. I don't know what's going next year's going to bring. Texas, you know, Arch Manning will be in Starkville for that one. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Georgia is Georgia. They're not going anywhere. And then Ole Miss, I mean, they're just going to reload with the portal. And I think Austin Simmons is a good piece to build around there. So that's a very tough schedule for Mississippi State. Scott and Pearl, maybe our Mississippi humidity will slow down Scadaboo a little bit, assuming he's coming back. I think Scadaboo's a senior. I think we don't have to worry about that punishing nightmare of a runner coming to see Starkville. Three years in a row, the hardest schedule in the conference. I mean, there's no question. This is an incredibly, incredibly difficult schedule. Incredibly difficult. State really needs to come out in that first game against USM and make it a good statement to get people excited. And, of course, between now and then, they need to really work the portal and get some guys in here that can play SEC football for you next year. These next few days are going to be very crucial for Mississippi State. Jackson Arnold is supposed to visit this weekend, be in Starkville on Friday. And if that's the case, they need to lock him up and then try to use him, like I said, as a catalyst to continue to bring in some players. They got to replace Kevin Coleman. They got to get some playmakers on the offensive side of the ball now. And defensively, I mean, they need another 10, 11 guys like the ones they've got committed right now, if not better. Going to be a very precarious month for Mississippi State. The 2025 season will be determined in the next 20 days for Mississippi State by what they do in the portal. We'll find out what that is. Guys, don't forget, there's no Thunder and Lightning podcast tomorrow. I've been busy all day, couldn't get up with Robbie, but we will be back on Friday. And, of course, Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Me and Michael Borky, plenty to talk about. For Rhino down there in Studio X, who's brought us to a full and complete halt safely yet again, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.